spiritual health regimen this evening. Tonight's topic, and I hope you didn't worry about it all last week. None of them are nearly as fun as that one on worry. I just really liked that one. It would tease y'all about all your worrying that you do all week, and while I didn't have anything to worry about all week while I was on vacation, I thought that worked out well. I took that sermon to heart last week, and I didn't worry. This evening, though, we're going to be looking at being a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, to think as God hath dealt to everyone the measure of faith. God's given us the measure of faith for us to measure ourselves by. We are not to be conformed to the world. We're supposed to be transformed. We're supposed to be different. In fact, so different, he says in verse 1, that we are to present ourselves as a sacrifice. And not the kind of sacrifice that Abraham was going to make of Isaac, for he wouldn't do God much good if we all killed ourselves like some of the cults have had their members do. That wouldn't accomplish much. We'd all be dead. Then what could we do? But instead, he wants us to be living sacrifices. And what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? And a sacrifice almost always involves blood in the Old Testament. So how can we be a sacrifice and yet still be living? If we shed our blood, we wouldn't be able to continue with our lives. So what does he mean by that? Well, he's referring to the fact that we give ourselves over to the world. We no longer consider anything to be mine, but it's all his. The Bible speaks of the kingdom of God like a merchant looking for fine pearls, and he finds one pearl that is of such great value that he sells everything he has so he can buy that one pearl. And, you know, I've seen some pretty pearls in jewelry stores. It's the only place I've ever, been close enough to me to see them. But in jewelry stores, oh, they've got some beautiful pearls. I don't think I've ever seen one that would be worth giving up everything I've got for. Personally, I wouldn't pay $50 for a pearl, but that's just me. Some folks pay thousands and thousands of dollars for pearls. But they're not that big a deal to me. But can you imagine any or diamond or any other gem or gold? Or can you imagine selling your house and your car? I mean, a pearl might be pretty, but it won't keep you warm in the winter or cool in the summer. I wouldn't even trade my air conditioner for a pretty pearl on a day like today. But this guy thought this pearl was so fabulous that he was willing to sell everything he had so he could buy that one pearl. Why wouldn't he have been bad shape if he'd have lost it on the way home from the store after trading everything for it? But this is what God compares his kingdom to. It is of such great value that we should be willing to sell everything, give up everything to have it. In fact, we see this kingdom that offers joy and peace, security, and eternity. And the man marvels at such a pearl as that and says, I want that pearl. How much does that cost? And the seller says, oh, it's so much. Oh, it's very expensive. You think I should buy it? Oh, sure, anybody can.
anybody sin.
And we could have taken chips and take out the taxes and social security and Medicare and we have spike taxes, if we take out the state taxes, and throw that out of there, then we take out for health benefits and all those things, and of course, one case for some, and things like retirement plan, and then take all that out, then we give us what we have, and we figure out for how much left over, how much we're going to get the job. What about all the rest of that? You know, if we get the guts out of that. Can we live with man's self-perceptions? If we get it right, can we get it wrong? The result of one reason and one living, and it led to the first murder. Noah offered the sacrifice immediately after the flood. One of the best laws. Sacrifice to be made for every sin. Do you realize how broke we would be if we had to give a sacrifice every time we sin? If we were honest, we'd all be in the ground. We'd all be on the left side. Everybody! Even your first little rich, they didn't have to stay rich, not to go far more than and had to give sacrifices all the time. For every time they sin, every sin. I don't know, I don't buy the bull, but I don't know, how much does a bull cost? I mean, $500, $600, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000? It's a bull. And that's what you have to sacrifice for sin. A bull, a one-year-old bull. Now, for every sin, it's going to go to $5,000. How many of you could afford $5,000 for every sin you've seen in the last week? Now, I think God's deal is a much better deal. All he has now is everything that I am and everything that I have, and it's because I live. And I probably owe him a lot. That's okay. It's a better deal for me than trying to come up with a $5,000 bill every time I can just sin. Because I couldn't pay for the person. You know, the priest's job, a full-time job, to 10% of the population of the children of Israel, approximately. 10% of the population have the job of making and offering sacrifices every day. And to get busy at it. Wow. 10% of the population. Their daily job was to go and make sacrifices all day, every day, every week, every month, every year. Don't they have special sacrifices for themselves, special yearly sacrifices for the people. And then, like, when Solomon dedicated the temple, we talked about Solomon this morning, when he dedicated that temple, you know those priests were busy, busy, busy for many, many days at the dedication of the temple, sacrificing thousands of animals. But Jesus sacrificed the once for all. We don't have to continue paying for those $5,000 or $6,000 of all every time we sin. Jesus made that sacrifice one time and covered everybody for all time that was willing to accept that sacrifice together. Hebrews 7:22 and following, it says, by so much more, Jesus has become surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was sitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people. See, first they have to offer sacrifice for their own sins before God is accepting the sacrifice that they offer for the people's sin. It's not Jesus. Jesus offered his sacrifice once for all, and he offered up himself. Hebrews 9:26 is not with the blood of bulls, of goats, and calves,
but with his own blood, one of the most public verses, once for all, that is eternal, eternal redemption. And if that time verse 28, he again says, verse 25, not that each should offer himself off him, because the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then says, I just suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, with the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. 28 says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. He says, he will appear a second time apart from sin to salvation. He comes back again. He's not going to offer himself to the sacrifice. They're not going to get to spit at him and beat on him and hit him with a cross. And he comes back next time. He's coming back to say he's going to save and to punish those who are not. We better be ready. And the way that we can make ourselves ready is by offering ourselves over to God as a living sacrifice. We just can thank you so much. God says, behold, I have come to do your will, God. As that's what Jesus has speaking to the Father as God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering the community to the same sacrifices. Notice that every priest stands ministering daily and offering to give them the same sacrifice. Look at the priest had to do. They had to do it. You know that in the tabernacle and in the temple, there were no chairs. There was no chairs. Not like the preacher who gets to sit until the temple and get up and preach and then gets to sit down again. The priest stood all day. Why is it was if he was on duty, he stood. And when he got up to the other person, he stood. They stood, but notice what he says. They offered the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, verse 12 says, this man being Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, you think he could stand forever? He sat down at the right hand of God. His work was done. He didn't have to get back up and offer another sacrifice. He had to go sit down after that sacrifice, because that was the last one. So here we are. The Old Testament law that had to offer bulls and goats. Christ came along and he offered himself. And now, all of the blood sacrifices done for Christ was the last one necessary. But God still demands sacrifices. Daily sacrifices. Bulls and goats, no. You can serve it like Abraham was prepared to offer Isaac. Oh, no. That's an abomination to him. Instead, what he expects and requires now is for each and every one of us, each and every day, to sacrifice ourselves to him. You know, in a lot of ways, we probably would agree that it's harder to live that daily sacrifice for God than it would be to muster up the courage one time to be strong enough to die for him. So Peter in the Garden of Eden was ready to die for Jesus. So that's what he was ready to fight to the death. And Jesus told him to put the sword away and he filled out his ear. And then just a few minutes later, Peter's sitting around the fire with the enemy, saying, I don't know who he is. I've never met that man. And swearing to Christ to prove it. How much harder to Peter think it was to live for Jesus than it would have been to die for. He was ready to die. But the problem he had been out fighting. He didn't understand that Jesus' death was not going to be a death in a battle to the end. Jesus' death was going to be a sacrifice. Jesus was going to go peacefully to the sword. And leave the sword there figuratively of death, not obviously we know he was crucified. But he was going willingly. He wasn't fighting to the nail all the way.
sacrificed himself. In fact, he said, no man takes my life from it, I lay it down. They couldn't have taken it from him if they'd have wanted to. They tried a few times, and Jesus left with the mixed up and disappeared. But it wasn't the right time. They tried to push him off a cliff. They tried to stone him a stone. They couldn't do it. But when it was time, laid his life down. And that's what he called on us to do. Each and every morning when we wake up, he called on us to lay our life down for him. This is quite possibly the hardest scripture that we've studied thus far in our series of life-changing scriptures. Because this will change your life. You cannot live the same way and be a living sacrifice for Jesus. We must sacrifice ourselves, as Romans 12 and 2 tells us. We die to sin, Romans 6 tells us. Verses 1 through 7, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? You see, each and every morning we have to remind ourselves that we've been crucified to the world and the world to us through Christ. That we've put that old man to death. We've sacrificed that old man and that sin. If we remind ourselves every day, or else we'll forget, we'll be right back to doing those things we used to do. What's more, we died to self. John 12, 24-46. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. He says, you better give up the idea of having your cake and eating it too. You can't have salvation and live this life the way you want to live it. If you're going to have salvation, if you're going to have heaven in the end, then you've got to live this life the way God wants you to live it. You've got to give up self. You've got to sacrifice your will for His will. We can't think that we can live according to our own will and get to heaven. Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We can't say, Lord, Lord, and do our own will and get there. We've got to say, Lord, Lord, and do His will. And then, of course, also, we die to fleshly desires. Galatians 5, 16, and following. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he defines those things that are earthly and carnal, worldly, fleshly desires, and those things that are spiritual desires. In verse 24 then he says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Well, that's hard, isn't it? It's hard to crucify the desires. We, for the most part, we do a pretty good job of overcoming those desires when they come to us, for the most part. We're not perfect at that either. But he said, we crucify the desires, the passions. Now, that doesn't mean we're left with no passion and no emotion and no desire in our life. But instead, our passion and our desire, our emotion in life is good and it's pointed to God and to godly things. We can still be very passionate about life, but in a good way, instead of passionate about the physical pleasures of life. And then, of course, our death, our sacrifice that we have made of ourselves, and our sacrifice of dying to sin and dying to fleshly desires, all of that, we died to live for Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. It's not like Jesus is asking us to do anything that he hasn't already been willing to do for us. Matthew 10, verse 37 and following. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Every day, in everything we do, we need to ask ourselves, am I doing this for stuff? Am I doing it for me? Or am I doing this for Christ? That's what a sacrifice really is. Because although I sacrificed so much, I gave up 30 minutes of my favorite TV show. Not a sacrifice. No, it was my sacrifice. It was his. He expects everything. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge us that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them to live again. If we're going to live, we better live for him. Because he died for us. If someone were to sacrifice themselves, give their life to save the life of my child, physical life, what would I be willing to do for that family? Let's say another father sacrificed himself so that my son could I'd take care of this family as best as I could for the rest of my life. I'd make sure they had a house that was better than mine. Because I'd feel that he saved myself of life. Here's Jesus. He gave himself. God sent his son to die, to save us, to provide us with a life, and give us the opportunity for eternal life. And then we trust and complain about giving up anything. We're going to give him all. He deserves so much more than we can endure. This week, if you go through the week, keep that in mind, that Jesus gave everything. And all he expects from us is everything in return. He bought us. And he owns us. And everything that we have. I know we don't live in slavery times in this country at least anymore, and we're all thankful for that, I'm sure. But when you read about those times, when you read about how the person who owned the slave, even though that slave might have a wife, children, possessions, that slave owner could take that slave up and sell him to wherever. Now, fortunately for us, God is not that kind of a master. He wouldn't do that to us in that way, which most of the time, he does allow us to take some of the ones that we love the most. But we still love him and serve him. He owns us and everything that we have. What can we say to him? No, it's mine! It's mine. God has to remind us that they're his. And if we're not good stewards of them, we'll take them away from us and give them to someone else who will be a better steward. Do you ever done that with something? Maybe a bank account or a retirement account or something like that wasn't given the kind of interest that it should give it. And you say, well, I don't know, I'm going to put money into an account to get a better return. Maybe you have a high interest credit card and come to swap that over to one lower interest. No one can put so much interest on that. But God will do the same thing with us. If we're not being good stewards,
not bringing in a good return for him. He'll turn it over to somebody that will. You're here tonight, you have a need to explain the situation for two reasons. We ask that you consider something like this.